Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Nando the dick. Yippee, he is gone. And unfortunately, John, the absolute incompetent Murta the meek, unfortunately, still at the football club. No idea why. He probably doesn't want to leave because he's thinking to himself, why should I give up being paid all this money? Even though I'm completely incompetent. The cockroach, he takes it off his bosses, the scum parasite. Like Glazers, but hopefully Surratt will get rid of this absolute imposter, and we'll soon be rid of him as well, and things can hopefully improve from them. Or the United have massive financial issues due to some of the contracts that have been dished out. And United, they are playing today, they're playing Aston Villa away from home in a massive match. And at least the one thing that Erik ten Hag has done, I think he's probably realised how Anthony is crap and should never start a Manchester United match again unless you literally have no wingers. And even then, I'd question it. But anyway, the team news is in. Only one change for the last match, unfortunately. Martinez injured. Massive, massive issue that. You might think maybe move Luke Shaw to centre-back, but unfortunately, we've not got any other full-backs apart from him and Dalot. So they both start. Arda in goal. Been slightly better in goal recently, but still massive question marks over him. And ETH has to take the fall for that because he brought him in. He's basically cost us in the Champions League. That comes back this week, by the way. European competition, remember that? Remember that, yeah? You know, we were in that. And it was just an embarrassing way to go out. Essentially, thanks to Onana. Not being able to save the ball. Not being able to stand in proper places at free kicks. Throwing out to the opposition players. Instead of our players. It's an absolute joke. Being out of that competition. That's caused some of these financial issues. But he's in goal. And then the centre-backs, Varane's come in. He will partner Maguire. Then midfield, it's a standard midfield now. It's got to be Casemiro, Kobe Mainoo and Bruno Fernandes. And up front, standard front three, really. Marcus Rashford, Garnacho and Højlund. Although I would say Marcus Rashford is the one that you wouldn't have a problem with leaving out, to be perfectly honest, because on form this season. I think Garnacho has been unfortunate in regards of he's been basically left as a bit of a patsy. A young striker brought in, he's doing really well at the moment. He's scored in the last four Premier League games. But he's taken his opportunities. I have criticised him on here before for when he's had opportunities, not taking them. But I've also prefaced that by saying he shouldn't be the only striker that Manchester United have, but they are, because they couldn't afford another striker in January. This is the club that bought Wout Weghorst in last season, when they claim they couldn't buy another. They could have afforded another striker. It's an absolute joke. It's just scum Glazers not willing to spend their money. Simple as that. They could have found somebody, but they didn't want to. So you better hope that Højlund stays fit for the rest of the season, because Manchester United have a paper-thin squad, and they're not having the excuse of injuries. Just get on with it. If Manchester United manager's moaning about injuries, I mean, he's come out recently saying, you know, nobody believed me when I had my best players. Well, do you know what, Erik? That's fine, but you still need to get results. You still need to win matches. You still need to make sure that Manchester United haven't got a negative goal difference, aren't out of the Champions League in the embarrassing way that they are. And you need to play better football. Although, you know, I think probably with his better defence and last season, the football wasn't the greatest football. But he had a solid defence last season. This season, there have been a lot of changes in the defence, but there's still been issues in midfield. There's still been issues further up front. And as I say, when Anthony Martial is your number two striker, that says everything. A guy who's basically injured at the moment and should never ever play for this football club again. He's using the medical facilities till he leaves, although the medical facilities aren't very good at this football club. That's Martinez. I mean, where's Malacia, for heaven's sake? It's ridiculous. But anyway, I will be back post-match. I'm going around to my mate Linda, so I will be back post-match with my thoughts on the game. A huge match that United really need to win, to be perfectly honest, because obviously the challenge is for top four. Unfortunately, that's all they can go for this season, because it's been an awful season. There's still time to salvage something. Obviously, there's a trophy and possibility to get in the top four or top five. 8 points behind this Villa side that they're playing. 9 points behind the Spurs side. They're the people that they're chasing, because they ain't going to get anywhere near the other teams. I mean, everybody talked about a great win against West Ham last week of 3-0. And West Ham were decent last week. Arsenal have beaten them 6-0 today. 6-0. So I think that says a lot. As I say, I'm on my way to my mate Linders. And I will catch up with you all post-match. And there it is, a massive, massive win for Manchester United. 2-1 at Aston Villa. They got themselves over the line in this game with a huge, a fantastic header from Scott McTominay. Yeah, he's not my favourite player, and I've always said that his best position is coming off the bench, because he can grab you a goal, and he grabbed the goal today after some excellent work from lovely little chipping from Varane. Maynou, control, passed to Dallow, the cross was outstanding, and McTominay got it ahead of Matty Cash to head it past Emilio Martinez into the net for a huge victory for Manchester United, a victory that they actually battled for and showed real fight to get to that result, because the game was, it was drifting a little bit, but Villa had equalised and United were... They were put under not severe pressure, but they were being put under pressure. The game sort of lulled. Ten Hag made a key substitution for bringing on Scott McTominay, because at 1-1, it became 1-1. It was like, the game, you need to change the game. You need to do something now to change the game. And he brought on McTominay for Rashford, and actually a strong substitution, because Rashford, let's be perfectly honest, he did okay. He's more in the team for, because of who he is, than his performances this season. Although he's still miles better than Anthony, for heaven's sake. I mean, Ahmad, as I say, leave this football club. What do you have to do to get a game? But he brought him on just to solidify the midfield to some more extent. Although he actually was playing a bit further forward than Hoyland, it seemed. And then there seemed to be a bit of a lull in the game. Villa weren't really seeing it go for it. Were Villa happy for there to be an 8-point gap between Manchester United and them? But then, obviously, that little bit of extra bit of quality, the cross was outstanding from Dallow. He's not too brilliant with his crosses. Outstanding. And then McTominay headed it in, ran to the away fans, who went understandably ballistic, and they held out well for the rest of the game. Sort of earlier in the match, it was Hoyland who scored. I think it's 5-5 now in the Premier League. Hoyland from a header from Harry Maguire. I mean, I never understand the lack of managers changing things in regards of issues, especially at corners. Maguire was being marked by Kamara, who basically is tiny, and Maguire's massive. And I've seen this. I think I can't remember who it was, but Virgil van Dijk was being marked by somebody miles more than him when he scored a goal against us in Liverpool two or three seasons ago. And it basically, every corner that United got in the first half, they just aimed for Maguire. He always got in ahead of Kamara, and it was him that got the header in for Hoyland to put the ball to the back of the net from inside the 6-yard box. He beat the offside trap. Villa not getting out quick enough, and United took the lead in an even match. But after that, Villa didn't take control of the game, but you could see what they were trying to do. There were plenty of opportunities that they did have, but United defensively were excellent. Good blocks, good saves from Onana. Onana made some excellent saves today. Let's hope that continues, because he owes the club about $50 million for his Champions League cock-ups. But he made some excellent saves, one from McGinn, one from a brilliant rush out to deny Ollie Watkins, who Gareth Southgate was watching, but he doesn't like Ollie Watkins, he won't pick him, but he will pick Calvin Phillips, even though he's absolute garbage at the moment. But anyway, as I say, similar, I remember when there was talk that Southgate could possibly become Man United manager. That would be an absolute disaster. He's a yes man like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So he'd fit perfectly in with the Glazers. So, but hopefully that will not be happening now. The Glazers have less say in the football side. Not even Sir Rat would make that kind of ridiculous decision. United got themselves to half-time in the lead. Standard booking for Casemiro for basically not fouling anybody. It is shocking. And there is, as I say, there's always proof about referees. He was more than happy to book Casemiro for a challenge he didn't actually make. Matty Cash dived or tripped himself up. But then Kobbie Mainoo made a similar challenge to stop a breakaway. He didn't want to book Kobbie Mainoo. It was like, oh, well, I suppose I have to. But with Casemiro, he was more than willing to get that card out quick enough. They say there are agendas with referee with specific players. I'll claim there isn't, but there is. So Casemiro couldn't put a tackle in. But to be fair, Casemiro used all his experience to marshal himself through the match. He was very careful not to put challenges in, but he always put his body on the line, that's for sure. So United got to half time at 1-0 down, 1-0 up, and then unfortunately Luke Shaw injured again. What is the point of Luke Shaw if he keeps getting injured? People say he's an excellent left back, and he is a good left back, but if you're always injured, what's the point? People criticise Rafael Varane for being injured. You know, Rafael Varane won the World Cup and 4 Champions Leagues. You know what, I can accept a little bit of injury. You know what you're going to get later on in the career. I mean, Luke Shaw, is he 27? But he's had injury right through his career. I mean, does it relate to the really bad injury he had? Obviously, the rest of his body, you know, it does affect. He can have a really bad injury, and then there are effects throughout other parts of it. But injured again, off at half time. Victor Lindelof coming off, and that was the start of Aston Villa absolutely peppering their right hand side, our left, Manchester United's left hand side, peppering Victor Lindelof. Bailey was down there, Diaby came on, and then they eventually did break through halfway through the second half from a corner. The corner was cleared, and then the ball came back in for Diaby. And it was Douglas Luiz who did a little jig in front of the whole head. I don't know, was he doing it in front of Onana? I'm not quite sure, but he did a little jig, and it was 1-1, and Villa were in the ascendancy then. But then, as I say, that's when I made the point, right, he's got, right, Eric, you've got to make some changes now. You've got to do something because United need to win this match. And he sort of left it 5 minutes or so, and then Rashford came off. Thankfully, Villa was still pouring forward and they still had opportunities on the break. But then the game sort of lulled itself a little bit. As I say, just sort of tightening up that midfield position, putting Bruno Fernandes on the right-hand side, who put in some excellent challenges, getting up and down that right-hand side. Superbly, and put some excellent challenges on the edge of the Manchester United box, even before and after Scott McTominay's winner, which is a massive win and pushes United to within 5 points of fifth place and 6 points of fourth place. But at the end of the day, as I've said plenty of times in the pod, they have to keep winning because this season's been an absolute joke so far. So beating Villa today, fantastic. They have to go on and beat Luton next week. Then after that, it's Fulham at home, FA Cup match against Nottingham Forest away, and then it's Manchester City away. So they need to keep winning football matches because this Manchester United side have always shown when things go against them, they collapse like a pack of cards. It's a weak mentality. They were better today. Once the equaliser went in and the changes were made, they were better. But the thing is with Erik ten Hag, I'll talk about Antony again. He didn't bring Antony on. Well done, Erik. You're learning very quickly. As I say, that again, that's another one on you, sadly. Not the amount we paid for him, but the fact that you wanted this guy who was an absolute joke of a footballer. But what I will say, because I do like this thing about left-footed players, you can't use his right foot. Diaby was put through at one point on his right foot. Harry Maguire basically made sure he couldn't cut in on his left foot. What did he do? He cut in on his left foot and put in. I don't even think he even got a shot in. I think he was either blocked or he dribbled the shot straight into Onana's hand. Why don't you actually do some work, Diaby, and you your right foot? Although to be fair, I don't watch Diaby week in week out. He can't be as bad as Antony in regards of using his right foot. That's all I'm willing to say on that at this stage. I'm sure Aston Villa fans can tell me if Diaby's got any use of his right foot. But at the end of the day, you don't always have to have a right foot. I think a lot of players think, oh, they can be Lionel Messi, who couldn't really use his right foot. But Lionel Messi's a level above the majority of people. Actually, pretty much all footballers apart from maybe Ronaldo, Pele and Messi, Maradona. You talk about Messi with them three, the others, anyone else, they're big question marks, so he can get away with it. And I think there are plenty of players who think they can do it. They can't, because we see that all the time. But, so no Antony, thankfully. United move on. So that's 3 wins in a row, unbeaten in 2024. There'll be another week of positivity at the football club. But you know what? There needs to be weeks of positivity for the rest of the season at this football club, for to salvage what has been a poor season for Manchester United. And as I say, I don't want to hear excuses. You just get on with it and do the job. As I say, I think defensively they were really good today. All the defenders. Obviously, Luke Shaw only played 45 minutes, and Lindelof struggled early on, but he did sort of get slowly but surely into the game. And the goalkeeper, you know, credit to the goalkeeper, as I say, he owes a good 50 million. But let's see if that continues, because this Manchester United have shown they've got good players. They can perform when they need to. So, not necessarily when they need to, but they can perform. We've got good footballers. So, and obviously, one thing, I mean, the other caveat you have to take is Villa. I think they've lost their last 3 home matches, 3-1 to Newcastle, 3-1 to Chelsea, and now 2-1 to Manchester United. So, you know, we've caught them at a good time, and sometimes that can help in football, but you have to take advantage of that, and they did with that extra bit of quality. As I say, Dalot, who's crossing is questionable at the best of times, put in an absolute beauty that was right on top of Scott McTominay's head, and he's put the ball into the back of the net, and that's a huge win for Manchester United. As I say, Scott McTominay, he's good for getting a goal, and if you need a goal, he's good for somebody to remember. I can't make better to say, Hoyland did come off with Amrabat and Evans coming on, and Scott McTominay stayed up front. So this Ten Hag spoke about creative ways of the forward line. Scott McTominay is the creative way, although he did used to play as a striker before he moved back to midfield. He is a better striker than he is a midfielder, in my opinion. He shouldn't be anywhere near Manchester United starting midfield. Not as bad as Antony in regards if he had a load of injuries, but he should be closer to the goal than closer to our goal in regards of standard play. Obviously, at corners, we'd have him back because he's tall, and that was the reason why Eric and I used to constantly play him. But anyway, big win for Manchester United, and let's move on to Luton next week. I think it's the last game of the week, or it's a 4:30 game. So they'll know what all the other teams have done, and they'll know exactly what they have to do. Although, let's be perfectly honest, four matches. It's as simple as that. And Luton, who batted Newcastle, lost 3-1 to Sheffield United at the weekend. So they won't be coming in the game thinking, right, Manchester United will be an easy run, though. They will be there. They will be battling hard. And United will have to match that next week to make sure that they are ready and take out Luton at Kenilworth Road. And Luton gave United a tough game at Old Trafford, and it took a Victor Lindelof goal of all people to get the winning goal. So it is important for Manchester United that they don't rest on their laurels. The manager won't allow that. He said before the game that, when questioned by the interviewer, they asked about United's good form at the moment, he just said they need to keep winning. There are no excuses at this stage. The season has been poor. They need to actually have a good end to the season. And they need to try and win that FA Cup trophy and get themselves up into the fourth. Maybe fifth might be enough, because this club has got massive problems if they are not in the Champions League next season. But you would hope that the people that are going to be running Sir Rat and his boys and girls that are coming in to take over the club actually understand that Manchester United need to stop and actually scout properly, buy players at a reasonable price, and say to them, these are the wages we're going to pay. If you don't want to know, go somewhere else, and actually coach and improve players so they actually get better. Because that, unfortunately, has not been for a long time, because they've not had a coach that can do that. Ten Hag can improve players. He's had a tough season, but he knows what's required at Old Trafford. He knows what the things that he needs to do better himself as well, so they can improve do better through the season, and hopefully the season can end on a high. But as always, thanks for listening. A key result for Manchester United has to continue, though. As always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up at various podcast platforms, just Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Google Podcasts. Search MUFC Global, and you will find on your favorite search engine, and you will find the pod. Let me know your thoughts. Like, comment, share, and subscribe. Luton up next. I'm for Rota side, who have shown fantastic fight this season, and United are going to have to show a similar fight that they showed today to get a result. It'll be interesting to see what the back four is. Because if Luke Shaw's injured, well, he is injured, obviously, must knock. Is the knock? Is he going to be out for a number of weeks? Because United don't have an excuse left. They just have to get on with it and do the business. So, as always, for listening, we'll be back after the Luton game next Sunday.